Welcome to the Garden Girls Podcast with Amanda Thompson and Michelle Gervais. I'm Amanda, a garden designer, thing finder, Chicagoan, and the author of the books Kiss My Aster and Backyard Adventure. You can find me online at kissmyaster.com.
And I'm Michelle, garden writer, editor, and sci-fi junkie in northwestern Connecticut, and the author of the Design Your Garden Toolkit book and sticker kit. You can find me online at gardenygoodness.com. Amanda and I are both opinionated, rabid Gen X gardeners, avid thrifters, busy moms, and lazy bloggers.
Be sure to visit us on the Garden Girls Podcast Facebook page for alerts of new episodes and photos we promise along the way.
Thanks for taking the time to listen.
And thank you for being a friend.
Now on to the newest episode.
All right, I will start now. You ready?
Okay.
Hello, and welcome back to, what's this podcast called again? It's been a while.
I forget.
The Garden Girls.
The Garden Girls.
And when I say welcome back, I'm talking to Michelle and I, because you guys were probably here the whole time. Yeah, me, Amanda.
Yeah, and we've just dropped off the face of the earth.
Well, this can be an uplifting and also, like, it's fairly depressing podcast. I mean,
yeah,
it's all, it's realistic. We did the germination podcast right before quarantine began.
Right before it all hit hard.
It all hit hard. And for me, we can take turns, displaying our woes. My incredibly independent, at that time, 8-year-old daughter became the most clingy, volatile.
Hazel.
Yeah. She really had a hard time. And I think, a smart business model would have been like, hey, people are home. People are gardening for the first time ever. You should be making podcasts. You have the time. whereas I did have the time. I spent all that time having sad naps.
Yeah.
And things like that. Like I, with this.
Well, she's super social, right? So this really probably
super.
Hit her
hard. Oh, I mean, yeah. And you're, Akai is an only child and Hazel's an only child, but your daughter's so much older. She has some more.
Yeah, she doesn't care. She's not that into people either. So
just like mommy.
Yeah, mine has been thriving in this whole pandemic, being home every day and not having to see a single person. She loves it. So
really?
I feel kind of guilty that everyone else's kids are really struggling. And mine's like, I don't care if we never go outside again.
she's struggling without her friends because she's really a social butterfly. But she also just doesn't have anything to look forward to. She's only 9, so she's not at that age where she can make things happen for herself. And
is she not FaceTiming with friends and things too?
She is now, but it just didn't. All those things we didn't have that plan. Like no one had a plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we didn't have any of those things. And, I was just taking her to work with me. Where I wasn't seeing anyone at work, but like, taking her to work with me. And it was like, drudgery for her.
Yeah. But she got to see the animals. Did that help?
You would think she was a real snot about it. It was just like, she was like, mom, hey, mom. Like, I'm like, I'm trying to do all this stuff, So
yeah.
it was just really bad. And I think you were like, hey, can we do a podcast? And I was like, oh, hell no. Like I don't have any.
I didn't really feel like doing it either. It's just like this never ending sort of low level stress that I think everybody has right now.
I did
that
too.
I kind of just wanted to curl up in bed and not think about it. And so I'm glad we're getting back into it, even though we're going to focus on it a little bit.
Hey, Michelle, I've missed you.
Ditto. So, well, that said,
and you know
theme,
what? I've missed us.
Ditto.
You're so not affectionate. I love it. I'm making you
oh my
uncomfortable.
God, I'm so not affectionate.
I know. I'm
my
like
poor husband.
I'm also not affectionate, but I can like I see it in you because I also have it in me, and I like just like dipping my toe into your being uncomfortable.
My poor husband, if he could discuss his feelings all day long, he would be so happy. And I'm like, can you just get over it? We always tell people he's from Venus and I'm from Mars.
I like it.
It's just opposites attract. It's good. But, then he wants a hug.
He deserves one. All right. So what's the theme for today?
The theme is isolation.
I like it. So if you're not aware, every one of our podcasts ends in T-I-O-N or occasionally S-I-O-N.
Yeah.
But isolation, that's a really good one.
Well, I think it's good because isolation has definitely had an effect on my garden and me as a gardener. So we can talk about that and the good things and the bad things about what isolation has done to us, because we're all in isolation if we're good.
Yeah, it really, I feel, and I mean, this is like a stupid thing to say, I feel profoundly different.
Yeah,
than I definitely was.
Well, just socially, Rob and I, like, I'm not a super effusive person, but I'm pretty social. And before this all happened, we were going out and seeing friends almost every day. We had a packed social schedule. We just love hanging out with our friends. And I thought I would be really upset with not being able to be social like that, but it's actually been a really great break. So, yeah.
I love, and it's so cheesy. Like, I don't mean this in the HGTV way. They're like on House Hunters, people are like, I love entertaining. We just love to entertain.
I hate that word.
I hate it.
And this house would be wonderful for like entertaining.
Open floor plan. Oh. We can entertain. And it just makes me like shoot daggers out my eyes. And I'm like,
the worst is House Hunters International when they move to like Bolivia and they're like, we need 3 extra rooms for when family comes to visit.
I'm like, no one's coming to visit you. True. Okay. So I do like entertaining, and anyone who's ever been to my house knows that I do. There's a lot in life I do half-assed, but like I pick a theme, I invite people over, and then I go to a degree that like you can tell that I didn't, like, I took it seriously, and then I pushed it over into like like absurdism, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Harry Potter birthday party for Hazel, where I went to the British import store and bought like meat pies and HP sauce. And, you know,
and like, the kids are like, what's this?
The kids are like, we did not. I'm like, book 7 on page 43, someone mentions meat pies. We're having them, you know? But I think a couple weird things relating to us in our gardens. Like, first of all, in March, I mean, when did your state go in to pandemic mode?
Late March, I think. I started working at home.
Ours was like
late March,
about the 15th. Yeah, I think the 13th was my last normal day, but the 17th, I think, was our first actual day of quarantine here.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
And it was like, I just think of those days as so dark. I mean, March is pretty dark, but also like it was just dark and heavy.
Yeah.
A couple things happened. Obviously, in March, it was too early to garden, but people went into a crazed mode right there.
They totally did. Let me tell you, working
in
the seed and bulb industry, I feel very fortunate to be in the industry I'm in right now. With the seeds alone, it was bonkers, because first of all, we couldn't bring in extra staff because we were sort of bubbled in, in our little seed room. And it was nuts. We were working extra hours, taking orders like crazy. We were backed up 2 to 3 weeks at least. People were like, where are my seeds? And they were freaking out. And, you know, still to this day, it made us really happy that people were really getting into gardening, and we're getting a lot of new customers who were really excited. But now we're getting some nasty emails saying, I bought $300 worth of seeds and none of them came up. And I'm like, okay, how do I start?
That's user error.
Yeah, that is user error. But they don't want to hear that. What they say is that now there will be no food in my pantry this winter and I am going to die. That's basically what people have said. I'm not exaggerating. So I'm really happy that gardening is happening out there, but people got a little crazy.
People did get a little crazy. And like, I just kind of went along my merry way and I was like, well, this is the year that I'm going to buy some apple trees and some fruit trees. And like, I just, you know, this was my plan, and I couldn't find
anything. Nope.
And that just got really weird, and I wasn't going to go to the garden center.
Yeah.
So I did my pots like a month ago.
Yeah.
Like, I just got brave enough to go like a month ago and do all that stuff. It's been like the request for design for me, like for, I took it off my website. Mm-hmm. It is off. Like you cannot now, if someone wants me to do design for them, like I would do a 30 page survey of like their likes and dislikes, because I mean, it's like, I just, there's so many people, they don't know what they want. And it's like, I want to grow grapes in my closet. Can you help me? And I'm like,
Yeah.
it's been a doozy.
It's been a crazy, crazy season, and it's not letting up. Like it's with seed sales now, it's not stopping. We've slowed down a little bit because it's summer, but I mean,
really?
The numbers are still going up over last year. It's nuts.
Good for you.
Yeah. But even the bulbs, people buying bulbs, it's way up over last year.
I love hearing that.
Yeah. So everybody needs a little more beauty in their lives. So it's good. It's really good.
Did you think that actually might be because of my excellent squirrel video that I
yes,
made?
Oh, yes. Totally. It's okay. All you. Thank you so much.
Oh, God. I'm glad to hear that. Actually, I did buy some seeds today.
Oh, what'd you get?
Not from you guys. I saw on, I was just going to say something really cheesy. I'm going to say it anyways, but now I've prefaced it as being cheesy. This was just going to fall in my mouth. My friend, James Alexander Sinclair.
Your friend, James Alexander Sinclair. Excuse
you. That sounds bad, right? But it's not like I've met him, but we've known each other now for like 10 years the internet. So
he seems so cool.
He's super cool. I know. He's super funny.
Can he be my friend? I want to be his friend.
I think so. Okay. I don't know. But I saw on his Instagram feed, he was talking about, he posted a picture of this heliopsis called Burning Hearts. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. Why would you buy a heliopsis that looks just like a dahlia?
Well, that sounds nice.
Right?
It's yeah.
It's got dark foliage and the flowers look just like dahlias. So it looks like a cousin for Bishop of Landolf or Bishop's Children.
Interesting. Landaff,
yes.
Which right. I have, but it's a heliopsis right now. Keep going.
Or is it a helianthus? I'm always
helianthus,
so bad at this.
Is sunflowers.
Yeah, heliopsis.
Yeah, okay.
It's got to be a heliopsis, or maybe it's a helian. I don't. Whatever. It's burning for sure. It's burning hearts. If you put in helia,
I'm going to Google blah, 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 after blah. This. I'm writing it down.
Yeah. Anyways, I bought some of those seeds. Hearts. It's the one. What's lemon queen? Is that a helianthus?
Yeah, that's a sunflower.
Then that's what it is.
Oh, okay. Let me just cross it out. Heliopsis.
Perennial sunflower. Yes.
Oh, it's a perennial.
It's a perennial.
Oh.
See, this is where I've always been bad.
Interesting.
Like, when I was little, there was a electric company skit with a waiter, and he's singing a song. I could never tell a cabbage from a lettuce.
I don't remember this.
Okay. Well, that's me with helianthus and heliopsis.
Is it helianthus maximiliana or I can't remember what it ends in.
Yeah. Don't know.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'll Google it. Okay.
Burning hearts. Gorgeous. Burning hearts. Found some seeds on Etsy.
Yeah.
For like $2.75 because the photo she took is later in the season when the foliage is green, but for sure in the beginning of the season, the foliage is deep bronzy purple.
Are you sure it's a sunflower?
No, I'm not sure of anything right now.
I've never heard of dark foliage sunflowers.
Me either, but wait till you see James Alexander Sinclair's Instagram
all
feed.
Right. If you say so, I'll
my friend it. James.
Your friend. My very good friend James. You got to say it with an accent. I can't do it in British.
No, he's made fun of me for my accent. See, that's how close we are.
I have one of my best friends is British, and she does an American accent. And you know that commercial? I think it's a Pace Picante commercial. New York City.
Yeah,
that is her
get
American accent.
Yeah,
and I cannot stand it. I stick my fingers in my ears and I go no 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 no, and she keeps going and keeps going, and it's unbearable. So
I
can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, I can't do accents, but I can do funny voices. Like I can like a puppet show. I can do.
Yeah.
But I don't want to offend anyone. But anyways,
no British puppet.
No. Yeah. We're not really friends, but he knows that I exist.
He's friends.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost my train of thought. I was going to tell you something. Oh, I was going to say, wait, I'm very scattered right now. It's kind of late, and we probably shouldn't have done this at night. But
sun's still up here.
The one hour ahead. The sun's still up. It's getting dark. We usually every year would have this deadline of the 4th of July because we always have a huge 4th of July bash. We have like 80 people in our yard, and we didn't have that deadline this year. And that was very weird. Because that's, you know, you don't clean your house unless somebody's coming over. That's another thing.
It's been that is like how that's my whole operating system is like you clean the house because people are coming over.
Yeah, invite people over. You get a clean house.
I always set a big audacious goal for my backyard. Like last year I had a live TV crew here.
Yeah.
One year I had a wedding. I always have a party or something scary that I get it all together for.
It's pure hell to get it together, but then it's so good after.
But, you know, so here's part of like where I'm fundamentally different is now I'm doing things around the house and I'm doing it just for me.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre feeling, but probably where I needed to be along.
It's healthier. Exactly. And right. That's the thing is that we didn't have this deadline, but at the same time we were home so much and kind of out in the garden that it wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. By the time 4th of July came along, not over. 4th of July didn't come over. The garden is in better shape than it's ever been, and we did it all for us. You're right. It's just like we were out there, we were enjoying it, we weren't doing it for anyone. Even my containers, I spent a ton of money on plants for containers. I knew no one was going to see it, but it's making me happy. So it is sort of returning us to why we garden too.
Yeah, I'm willingly going out after dinner and collecting buckets of weeds. It's not the yard isn't in the best shape ever, but it's where I said this to someone yesterday. I was talking about this new climbing thing that they built near my house. And someone's like, oh, are you going to go and do some zip lining stuff? I'm like, listen, I'm outdoorsy in that I like to be outdoors by myself. I'm not outdoorsy like sports wise. That's mm-hmm. those are two different kinds of outdoorsy.
They're very different. Yeah. Things.
I think this is my new, clarity. I like to garden because it is a solo sport.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to help me. So it's good that I like that. But I go because it's another room in my house is to get out of here. And even this morning, Dan's like, wow, I really had to work hard to find you. That's why you live on a big property is because your husband can't find you.
Yeah. See, but the problem is that this time of year, come late July and August, I'm all gung-ho in May and early June, but right now I barely step outside. So I will go outside once in a while when it cools off for a split second, and I'll walk around and I'll find weeds that are just almost camouflaged that are like 3 feet tall.
I just don't care.
It's so hot out there that I can't even take it. It was 90 degrees today and super humid, and I ran from the car to the house.
It felt like 103 on Sunday, but right now, let me check my watch here. It says it's 83. It feels downright beautiful out there.
Oh, it's not humid.
It's not humid at all.
Yeah.
And for 2 weeks, we were in the 90s in Illinois, in Chicago.
Is that unnatural?
Oh, natural for July. We had really? A hot June, hot July. And so I abandoned ship. I'm just like, what am I going to do? I can't do this. And I'm like, I got this thing. Like once sweat gets in my eyes, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't see. And then I just become like a crusted over fool. And, I mean, I'm looking out the window right now and there's a pokeweed that I've been meaning to pull that's as tall as me.
No, leave the pokeweed. I love the pokeweed.
Even you
do? You're going to have 50 pokeweeds next year.
I'm going to have 120.
I love the foliage. I love the berries. I love everything about it.
Do you love it when birds shit that staining purple berry on your car?
I do not. Well, no, they don't ever do that to my car.
Well,
my car is pretty far away.
There you go.
From where the pokeweed is. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I've been enjoying my time in the garden and making TikToks about how to sheet mulch, and I'm enjoying it more than like that, like I've got to get this done because this is happening. Doing it and it feels awesome.
I know, not often enough, but once in a while Rob and I will just go out after dark and we have those cafe lights stretched across the back property. And we'll just sit in our little Adirondack chairs and listen to the bugs and watch the fireflies. And we're like, why don't we do this more often? So it's good. I say that with guilt with what's going on with the rest of the country, because let me tell you, Connecticut's in pretty good shape compared to the rest of the country.
Right. We're
thank goodness.
We were in good shape and now we're less so, but
yeah, wear a mask, people.
Right, seriously. I have like now I have like a really cute wardrobe of masks, but none of them are comfortable or easy to wear. So
yeah, we got some good ones actually at Agway.
Really?
Do you have Agway?
No,
you have Agway.
We don't.
What?
No, but it sounds like a place that I would like.
Agway is sort of like I feel like they're, what do you call it when you own a McDonald's?
It's a chain.
It's not a chain. That's like, they're independently owned.
Franchise.
Yes. I feel like it's, I'm not sure. Don't quote me. I feel like it's a franchise. It's sort of like a local version of Tractor Supply.
Hmm.
They have animal feed and mulch and pellets for your pellet stove. And they had the cutest little floral face mask this spring. And Rob brought one home. I'm like, go back out and get three more. They're so cute.
You know, really I live comfy. like 10 minutes from Chicago city limits. So no, we do not have an Agway.
But do you have a Tractor Supply?
The nearest Tractor Supply is at least an hour away.
Well, you're not missing much because Tractor Supply, I'm sorry if they're ever like, we get wildly famous and they're a sponsor. They're so overpriced. It's ridiculous. So don't worry about it.
We did have a Big Red a couple towns over.
What's Big Red?
It's like that. It's like all that. But it didn't last long and now it's called something else. Maybe it's called an Agway. I'm not gonna Google it right now because I have a feeling it'll mess with the recording. So, but
yeah, don't do it.
Yeah,
we have
I don't
enough
know.
Problems with our recordings. Let's hope this one right. does okay.
Which mine is beeping right now because my dad's glucoseometer is great times, good times. Thanks, Dad. I'm sure he's fine. The podcast comes first. No, that's a terrible thing to say. I'm joking. I can tell everything's fine on my watch.
Can we just take a moment to thank the man who invented air conditioning? Just take a little brief moment.
Girl.
Thank you, Mr. Carrier.
How do you have air conditioning in your 1759 house?
No, 1871. Oh, well, a few years ago, my husband brought up this idea that I was like, well, that's too expensive. He had one of those mini splits installed. So it's a big unit outside and it's three units inside. So now instead of shivering through the winter and just sweating through the summer, we have basically central air conditioning and heat that we don't have to think about. And it's completely silent and is the most amazing thing in the whole world. And it saved our marriage.
We should take this conversation offline. My 1956 home does not have central air. It has units in one, two... There's four units in the house, built into the wall.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So very mid-century modern, except that one unit just died. So now three units are carrying the weight, and it just hasn't been cool enough in here for me. And
does it take a ton of air conditioning? I mean, not air conditioning, electricity, too?
Oh, well, yeah, because the units aren't – I mean, they're not original 1956 units, but one of them is brand new and the other two are not new. So it takes a ton.
Are they mini splits though? Are they older mini splits? Do you have a unit outside?
No.
Huh.
They're all built into the wall.
And they're just air conditioners. Yep. The ones that are in the wall. Okay. This is like a boring conversation
for
everyone else.
For anyone who wants to, hey, welcome to our This Old House podcast.
Exactly.
Welcome to our old Michelle and Amanda's old homes and why I'm too hot and she's nice and comfortable.
And why you should really think about buying a condo.
No gardening required.
Well, you can have a little courtyard or a little deck you can do some containers on, and you never have to worry about maintenance.
Hey, do you fantasize about that sometimes? Are you like,
sometimes
like, just,
I
like,
do.
Light a match and like, what am I doing? I think about moving back to Chicago and having a postage stamp and just having that like just beefed up to the nines, like just like no hair. Like I look great. The garden looks great. I'm a little bored.
Yeah, but there's no stress. Yeah, there was a big brick building in town that Rob and I just coveted for so long, but we were so wimpy and we didn't go to town hall, and some modern design company bought it for almost nothing and redid it. And it's this gorgeous brick building. And we would have made an apartment upstairs, and it had this huge rooftop terrace. And I'm like, why? Why did we not do this? Because we could have just had this beautiful rooftop terrace. I could have gardened a container garden to my life's content and been perfectly stress-free, but no. We live in this 1871 colonial. Oh, God.
With a mini split.
Well, there's that. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I would have thought a mini split was an even smaller bottle of champagne.
That sounds pretty good. One thing we wanted to talk about, we've been talking about forever, and this kind of ties in with this whole situation, and is shopping in our own gardens. That's something I've done a lot this year. because we haven't been shopping that much. I went to the nursery a few times. That's the first place I really went out and shopped with my mask and my gloves and really kind of ventured out, was to the nursery to buy a few things. But I've been dividing a lot of things lately.
I've been just spreading it about. Yeah, moving things from one side to the other, dividing things, moving things from the backyard to the front yard. I started more seeds even before pandemic. I started more seeds than ever, and I had that stuff to fill things up. And how long have you been at your home?
18 years.
18 years. So you got stuff coming. I mean, stuff is bonkers needing to be divided.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like I've looked at Facebook when they give you those memories, and I see my garden from like 10 years ago. I'm like, where'd that plant go? Where'd that plant go? I remember that plant. So you wouldn't think that I would have, you know, much trouble, but there, I do kill things. So there are only a few things that really go crazy and need to be divided a lot. Other things, I've got a lot of plants that just sort of sit in place and don't get unruly, so I don't have to divide them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want that cut leaf Rebecca, I can give you 16 bushels of it, but the best stuff, no.
I don't like that stuff.
I have a huge patch of it that I loved last year, and just now I was like, that just needs to come out. It needs to come out. It's getting a little out of control.
Out of control is its middle name.
Yeah. Yeah, it just keeps going and going.
I've got oregano problems.
Oh, we do too. In the driveway, keeps coming up.
It really does. It really does. And you know, I've got a big front yard, and it's on a slope, and there's two halves with a walkway in the center. And I did the right hand half right when we moved in, and I made a lot of mistakes. I've never gardened on a slope before, and that's the nice thing about gardening. There's always something to learn. Gardening on a slope has its own set of rules. And now I'm doing the other side, and I know exactly what I'm doing, and I know exactly how to do it, and it's coming together. So, like, it took me 6 years to do one half, and it's taking me like a month to do the other half.
And I'm like,
I've got all the stuff here. There's a couple things I need to buy, very little.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be putting that helianthus or heliopsis over there. That's for sure.
That's nice. So, do things like self-sow down the hill?
Not, they do, and they kind of slide down the hill too. Like, yeah. I mean, they just kind of, the seeds just keep coming down the hill. So I have to keep planting things at the top of the hill.
So they die at the top and they just migrate?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So
yeah, I was listening to NPR today, and they had some just teaser about some thing they were going to do about how, yeah, butterflies migrate, birds migrate, and also forests migrate. So I have to go look that up. So things are migrating back and forth in your garden.
They really are. And I've lost some things, and other things have gotten huge. And, you know.
How about those Aramuris?
Oh, the Aramuris. My God. They were about 2 feet shorter this year than last year.
Interesting. Maybe it was the heat.
Isn't that bizarre?
Maybe the heat made them flower earlier, and that's just it.
We had a very wet spring last year, and we didn't this year, and I think it's, I don't know. I just lost my thing that
migrating plants.
Oh yeah, it's gone, but it'll come back, so keep talking. Okay. It was a question I had for you.
I don't know, it
came back.
What?
Have we talked about how, like, I can't design for myself, but I can walk into any property and tell you exactly how it should look?
Oh, see, I'm the opposite.
Really?
I can do whatever I want in my own garden. But then, like, the simplest question, I've had multiple people email me lately and send me a picture and say, what should I do here? And I'm like, I'll think on that. Then I never get back to them, and then I feel really guilty.
Girl, send it to me.
So
it's taken me a really long time to figure out what I want to do here. I hesitated. And when we first moved in, I wanted to do like a really stylized native kind of thing with accents of orange, coral, and blue. That was what I wanted to do, all that. I decided over the winter, I'm going to keep my natives, but I want to go tropical, which is insane and stupid.
No, it's not. It's wonderful.
I'm spacing things out, making it more mid-century and going more tropical, which means give me all the ligularias.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Very cool. I totally approve of this plan.
I'm glad to hear it.
So Rob and I have a crazy idea for next spring.
What is it?
We're going to dig our own pool.
That's insane, but you guys can do it.
We can do it. It's only going to be like 8x12, and it's going to be nestled in right next to our big island bed. So like the variegated miscanthus is just going to cascade over the edge, and it's going to be amazing. And it's going to be four or 5 feet deep and like only 8x12. So almost like a plunge pool. We're going to do it all ourselves.
Salt water?
Nope, probably not. But we haven't really gotten that far into the research. But if Rob hears this, he'll probably start researching that.
So like a cement,
it's going to be cement, like a concrete pad on the bottom, then concrete block filled with cement with, you know, rebar, and then put all the drainage and all the plumbing in. And then we're going to paint it with the waterproof pool paint inside, and probably with a stone coping around the edge, and it's going to stick up out of the ground like 18 inches. We can also sit on the edges like a bench.
This sounds awesome, but
I'll check back on this next spring, right, and see if we actually do it.
You've seen all the like swimming ponds, right, that the people build?
No, those stress me out so really? much. Yeah, because what's happening under there, man?
But you make it yourself, so.
Mm-mm. No, I worked for a public garden that had one of those swimming ponds, and it was probably 20 feet deep, and they would clean it out once a year, and it was so scary. They would clean it out, and there'd be, like, turtles and snakes and just, like, crazy wildlife in that water, and they'd have to scoop it all up and put it in the woods, and I'm like, nope, never swimming in that.
I'm thinking of different things that I will send you pictures of, but I understand your fear. My grandma used to take me to like a swimming hole, and like something would brush against your leg while you're swimming, and then you're like, that's it, I'm done. And then you like that pond smell on your skin even after a bath. Yeah.
No, ponds and lakes really freak me out. Though I grew up on a lake, and I could only swim off my parents' dock because I knew exactly where the bottom was. It was 10 feet down. It was very sandy. But there were still those days when you would look across the cove and there would be a water snake swimming along, and we'd all freak out and get on the dock as fast as we could. And, you know, there's also the times when you would be sitting in the water, and if you didn't move your legs enough, the bluegills would just nibble on you. It would scare the hell out of you. So yeah, no, I want to see the bottom.
I will really only swim in Lake Michigan because it's just like dead.
It's like the ocean.
It's huge, but also like not a ton of wildlife near the and the beaches. So
yeah, when I swim at the ocean, I can't think about it too much.
I can't swim in an ocean.
Yeah, I don't get more than like 4 feet out, and I don't think about it too much.
I remember being very young, maybe like 4 or 5, and going to a beach that was just covered in jellyfish.
Oh yeah.
And since then, four or five, I've been like, nope, no oceans, thank you.
Well, we live on a river, and you would think we would swim in the river, but we're right above a dam, and if you try to wade into the river, your legs sink into muck up to your knees, and you almost can't get out. And plus, about this time of year, there's a lot of weeds growing in the river, which really freaks me out. So these weeds just come all the way to the surface, and they just sort of float there, but they're anchored, and it's just gross. So
I've got a little stream in our backyard, and we play in it. It gets going enough where it's pretty clean.
Oh, that's nice. I would take that.
Like it's like this time of the year, it's like someone left a hose on. Like it's really just calming and not very much going on. But
well, yeah, you can wade through though, and getting your feet cold really cools you off.
Yeah, it would just be your feet, really. Mm-hmm. But earlier this spring, it flooded so much, like half my yard was underwater. So got that going for us. It's like being on the banks of the Mississippi.
Yeah, our river floods once in a while, and we can canoe in it in our backyard. It's a little crazy, but our backyard is 2 levels. So if you go down like 20 feet, there's another level below, and that will get up to 3 or 4 feet deep sometimes in bad floods. It's crazy.
You just sold me a canoe, by the way.
To canoe in your backyard, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just like my brain went ka-ching. Like that done deal. Gonna
good luck finding one, because let me tell you, those are the things that are selling out this year too. Because we bought kayaks at the beginning of the season that was going to be our quarantine activity, and we just got them in time. There, you can't find any anywhere.
Really? So yeah. Like bikes.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's crazy what people have thrown themselves into. It really is.
Yeah. But it's all good.
It is. I kind of like humanity more in a way. Some of it. Yeah, some of it. Right.
There's other bad stuff going on. Yeah.
There is.
Oh, on a completely non-humanity note, do you guys have a lot of bunnies this year?
Nope. I don't have.
We have a bumper crop. It's crazy. They're everywhere. And the dog sits in the window and she sees one and she goes batshit crazy and barks at the top of her lungs. This is like every day. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what kind of season we had that made them all go crazy. But like they keep having baby bunnies. I'm like, those baby bunnies aren't growing. And then we're like, no, that's a new batch.
Oh, I have a different animal problem. And then I brought in a harvest of three large, they were yellow cucumbers and a little new tomato, a new potato, put it in the counter, came upstairs to change my clothes or something. And the dog, the new puppy, jumped up on the counter and choked down three cucumbers and a potato.
No.
He left the green one that I harvested yesterday and took the three yellow ones.
Interesting. Well, they're good for dogs, though.
With potatoes, probably not three of them.
Well, maybe not three of them, but potatoes and cucumbers are good for dogs.
I think for the last podcast, I had just gotten the dog. Is that correct?
Yes, and it was growing then, and it's grown since, hasn't it?
He's 85 pounds.
That's crazy. It's like
standing up, he's the size of a grown man.
And he's got a lot of fur, so he looks even bigger than that.
Yeah, he's very intense.
Yeah, I see him and I'm like, that's like Clifford.
I've had big dogs my whole life. I've never met a big dog that's so loving.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, he's very like on us, and I mean he's funny. He's a funny guy. He's more than I bargained for, but he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
The dogs are keeping us sane during isolation. I have to say, our dog is just so snuggly and so happy to have us home. And just the bonding is serious.
What happens, like Fox has only known us in quarantine. Like when life changes and we're not home, like if we leave the house, he finds all of our belongings and puts them on the floor in the living room, like he's trying to summon us.
Oh, that's
like
so cute.
A summoning spell. It is, until he bites your Birkenstock. But
oh yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah, but you know.
Well, I think Daisy has this forever because I don't think Rob's ever going back to the office. They've pretty made it clear that if you don't have to go to the office, you never have to again.
I think that Dan hopes for that, but
yeah.
I need something to break it up. I do too. I can't do this. Cannot do it.
I've been going back to work a few days a week, and just this week I'm going back 5 days, and it's actually kind of a relief to just get out. Not that I miss my family when I'm gone, because I'm so used to being with them all the time, but it's kind of nice to just get out and be somewhere else.
I go to work on Fridays. I teach some classes at the farm that I work at on Fridays, and I'm so busy that I don't have time to think about anything other than what I'm doing, and it's exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's given me a lot of, it's mental, it's been good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the plants that are making us happy right now. I know we do this every time, but.
Yeah, no, I have two red Abyssinian bananas.
I love those things.
They were expensive.
I haven't had one in years, and I've not bought one recently because I say I'm going to overwinter them, and then they just go to crap over the winter because I ignore them in the basement, and then I have to buy a new one, and they are expensive.
I'm going to try to overwinter them, not to put them in the basement. I'm going to try to keep them as houseplants. Is that
– Yeah, I tried that 1 year, and I just didn't water them enough, but I think it's totally doable. You just have to keep up on the watering, and then in the spring, just be brutal with how many leaves you cut off to the base. You just have to take the leaves that are looking a little tattered and just like take a paring knife and just peel them off at the base and just get down to a core and then let it go again.
I'm all about that.
Yeah, I think that would work.
My Echinops Rytro is looking huge and amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
Someone sent me some Maypops and those are just getting started.
Are they going to take over your garden though? Everyone says the Maypops take over.
Well, I've never seen them in this zone here.
So you think they're not going to overwinter?
Well, I mean, when I lived in Indiana briefly, there were some people who had them there. I planted them very close to the house so that they would live in a really weird spot that I can really control. So I'm not too worried about it.
That's good, because they're so cool.
They're so cool. And what else is looking great over here?
The Maypops are what they put, like, you know, the Star Trek sets. It's like, you're on another planet. They're, look at that crazy flower.
It is a hysterical plant. I mean, it makes no sense that Mother Nature would have come up with that. It's
No sense at all.
I mean, it's almost hard to look at because you're like, what am I looking at?
What is going on? I know.
Yeah. What else is looking great here? I could almost just end at those two. My mountain mint is always a favorite. In my vegetable garden, I just picked a ton of beans. I'm growing like a bunch of different kinds of tomatoes. My, the Reis tomato, you know that one?
No.
It's called the snacking tomato. And it looks like someone glued together a bunch of cherry and grape tomatoes.
Oh, I have seen that.
Yeah, my.
It's almost like you peel off.
You do. It's a traveling. Yeah. But it's also supposed to be very not great tasting, but it's very interesting to look at.
You haven't harvested one yet.
No, but those are furthest along. I feel, I mean, I'm a little bit behind when it comes to tomatoes because I just always am. I start them too late and then I put them in the ground too late. Yeah. And, but that's, it doesn't, in the end, so like I'm not the first person on the block to have a tomato, but I still get as many tomatoes as anybody else, you know?
You're just delayed a little bit. Right. Yep. I'm growing red noodle beans this year and they're finally forming noodles. I'm very excited.
That's a great plant.
Yeah, because I grew the green ones at work, and I just loved them. They just kept producing forever. They tasted good. They're like 18 inches long. You pick them, though they can go like 4 feet, apparently. And they're just so cool. I love them.
What do you do with them?
Cut them into little segments, put them in some olive oil, saute them up with a little salt and pepper and garlic and Parmesan cheese. That's what I do with all beans.
That's delicious. I toss them with sesame oil and put seeds on them. And that was really nice too.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was, you know, like a nice cold salad kind of thing.
Yeah.
I also got some Heptacodium Temple of Bloom, which is a well-named
tree.
Yeah, it's 4 to 6 feet or maybe a 6 to 10 feet. 6 to 10 feet.
Temple of Bloom. How good is that name?
Proven Winners is, I'm going to say, finally naming plants something that's like, that I'm not embarrassed to say in public.
That's super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And so those are pretty exciting. And then my sunflowers, I'm having a great sunflower year.
Yeah. And which ones are you growing?
Names are a little foggy for me right now, but I have that mammoth that you sent me, right? Is it called gray mammoth?
American giant.
That's what...
American giant. Okay. Yep.
And then the red one.
How big are they now?
Okay. Here's the thing. It's got to be 8 to 10 feet tall.
It's gonna keep going.
And I found, and I should tease this out in a BuzzFeed way, like that one trick to growing sunflower seeds successfully into actual plants, because people, you know, I think we did this podcast last year where I planted like 2,000 sunflowers and I got like 8 plants.
Yeah. Yep.
I found the secret to growing sunflowers.
What's that?
Continue planting 2,000 seeds a year and getting 4 plants.
And then they seed themselves.
And then they seed themselves. And then also the squirrels seed themselves. So none of the sunflowers are growing anywhere near where I want them. But where they are growing,
they're so happy anyway.
Where they are growing, they're incredibly successful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My most successful sunflowers are ones that I did not plant. Usually they're, you know, they dropped out of the bird feeder. That my best sunflower ever was just like, how did that end up there? It was like 20 feet from the bird feeder and nowhere near anywhere I'd ever had a sunflower. But it was stellar.
That's where I'm going here. They're growing out of my corn and it's just lovely. I'm growing some black sorghum and...
Oh, cool.
Dan's like, wow, that corn's going nuts. I'm like, it's sorghum. And he goes, yeah, it's really cool looking corn. I'm like, it's sorghum. And he's like, what's that corn doing at the top? I'm like, well, it's sorghum.
Oh, my God.
But he's like, well, what are you going to do with sorghum? I'm like, that's the question of why do I do anything? You know,
just for the fun of it.
Just for the fun of it. It's best case scenario, I'm going to send it to a chef friend of mine. Worst case scenario, I'll make a wreath out of it because sorghum is broom corn. Isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is, right?
I think, yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, last year at work, we grew Hopi red dye amaranth.
Yes.
And now we have a bazillion seedlings. But for some reason, when it went to seed, I was obsessed with going out and collecting the seeds. I'm like, I'm going to make cornbread and make it red. Of course, I didn't. But it's just like, I went out, I knew I wasn't going to use it, but I went out like every day with a paper plate and shook the plants and like, look how much I got today. So it's just for fun. Who cares?
You know, I got some of the Hopi red dye amaranth from you, I believe. And yep. I grew it in my garden and I let it go to seed. And I was like, I'm so smart. I'm doing this right. And I got not a one.
Really?
Right. And but I did harvest it eventually and I tried popping it. I tried making popcorn out of it. Which
I don't know. I think that's a myth that yeah, you can do that.
I will back up that that is a myth.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening.
But Hazel had a great time trying to make dye out of it in the front yard. Like she just had buckets of water and amaranth, and it just she played all day at dye shop. Like, what can I dye for you? And I would find like a you know scrap of t-shirt, or I was just giving her random stuff to dye.
And did it work?
No, but it kept her so busy.
Yeah.
I mean, to actually make the dye, it's like a. You have to. I think you have to fix it with alum, and you have to boil it, and you have to do all this
stuff. And also, I don't think it's the seeds. I think it's the bracts around the seeds. You have to really strip the plant and not just use the seeds.
Well,
because when I would harvest it and like massage it to get the seeds out, it was the bracts that I was brushing that really turned my hands red.
Yeah,
and that's what I've read too. So maybe that's it.
Makes sense, but I mean, really, we just needed a happy kid, so it worked.
Are you there?
Yeah. Oh, did you lose me?
Yeah, I lost you for a sec. There you go.
I like leaned into the. I'm looking out the window at all my plants. Do you have cup plant?
No, I really want cup plants.
I can send you some.
Yes, please.
So mine has taken over, and I can't complain because it's one of my favorite plants. And also, it's such a big, it like has so much presence, right?
So put it in the back.
So 40. I have it in the back 40, right outside the back, right off the back of the house, right. Kind of like giving us privacy during the summer. So much privacy in that on the neighborhood free cycle group, I grabbed a free outdoor shower, and the outdoor shower is nestled in the 8-foot tall cup plant. And I could be,
and no one can
I
see
could be
you
naked as I want to be back there. And not that I've done that, but I'm going to talk about it. Like I have, it's like my mom taught me when I was in eighth grade, she goes, just say, let's not, but say we did. And that's a great philosophy. It's gotten me very far in life.
And I told my sister about our pool plans. She's like, you know, you're not going to put on a bathing suit and go out in the backyard. I'm like, yes, I am. There's only one place where anyone can see me and we can put up a sunshade.
There you go.
Yeah. No. Trying to think of some plants that are making me happy. Oh, there was a friend of mine texted me a picture like 3 months ago of this gold mop cypress, cypress. And I know it's common as all get out, but I was like, I'll take that because we don't have enough evergreens, you know, in our garden, and we want to start building them up. And I know it's common, but it's yellow and it contrasts with everything else. I'm trying to justify it. But I was like, yeah, we'll take that. So Rob and I took the truck over to her house to get the shrub, and he thought it was probably bigger than I thought it was, but he didn't say anything. And we got there and it was like 5 feet tall.
What?
And yeah, it's huge. And he managed to dig this thing out of the ground, wrestle it in. It took up the entire back of a Ford F-150. It's huge. And he got into the ground. So it's in the middle of my big, long border now. And it's pretty amazing.
I like them. But, you know, you buy them for $20 in a 1 gallon pot. And then this is what happens.
Yeah, well, we found the original tag. It was really funny. I texted her back the tag. She's like, $30.
Right. And it was tiny. So and was like, you know, in the front. So people pop them in the front of the border in their front yards because they look adorable.
This is what she did.
Yeah. I see this all the time. And as they get taller and taller, people don't know what to do with them. And it's like, you know, adopting a St. Bernard.
But we nestled it into our bed, though, into our border. And it looks like it's been there for 20 years and it's amazing. So that's making me really happy right now. But we've watered the hell out of it because by the time we got it in the truck and then got it home, we got it in the ground. It was basically bare rooted, which is not great for them. So we've been soaking it a lot. So that's been part of our summer. I also got some of those, you know, those petunias that are out now that are kind of bronzy. They're not yellow. They're not orange. They're not brown.
Michelle.
They're a weird color.
I have those too. I hate petunias. I have three of those in a pot right outside.
I love them. I put them in the ground. I put them in the ground like 3 feet in front, 3 feet in front of that gold mop cypress. And I love
that. That is the sexiest combination I've heard today.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it.
I have mine in a big orange pot, right?
An orange pot.
In front of the limelights.
Oh, that's dreamy.
It is. It is.
Nice.
It is.
Also this year, last year, because I rediscovered my love last year for just purple fountain grass. And I put it all over the garden in the ground because then it gets really huge. But someone's like, you need to just try the vertigo, the graceful grasses.
Yeah, I love vertigo.
Holy cow, that thing looks fake, man.
It's the best damn plant. It's like,
I've got like 3 or 4 of them now. And I'm like, how do I ever live without this? And how can I get it through the winter? Because I don't want to buy 6 more next year, but I'm gonna. They're amazing.
Because I try not to give Proven Winners any of my money undue. Yeah. I bought some First Nights, which are very similar to Vertigo. And I put them, I planted them in a file cabinet that I laid on its side and removed the drawers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Black file cabinet, black grasses shooting out the top.
Oh, that's amazing.
It looks so good.
Yeah, Vertigo, I have one by the side porch, just on the corner of the steps. And like that, it's just, you know when you put a plant in the right place?
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa,
if I could get Vertigos in May, it would change my garden. But you can't. You can't get them until like June, right? You got yours in like June or July?
Yeah. You know what bugs me is that every time I go into a nursery now, it's little bitty Proven Winners pots. Little bitty pots of things that aren't going to get very big. There are not many options when you go to the nursery these days for really interesting plants that are going to get 3 or 4 feet tall. And that bugs the crap out of me.
There's a lot of... The breeding for so long was to make plants that were 24 to 36 inches. To the fact where now we don't have any big plants.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's gotten even smaller.
I agree.
Because they want to fill the greenhouse with a bazillion pots that are going to look tidy and they're not going to get big. And what I want is big, beefy plants. And I have to go like 6 nurseries to find enough things. And I'm still not happy.
Give me the biggest plants. I want massive. I've got a lot of space to fill and I don't want to do it, you know, in bitsy piecey things.
And that's even in containers. I want massive plants for containers too. Yeah. And that's why I grow so many of those crazy coleus, because they're just dead on, you know, it's going to work and they're cool, but you can only grow so many coleus before it just looks ridiculous. So I'm just really happy with that grass. I love it.
I love it too. When I finally made it to the garden center to buy stuff for my pots, the guy who was writing me up, he's like, it's a real eclectic wagon you have here. I'm like, I was going for tropical and he couldn't like stifle his laughter. So it's got pineapple sage, baby birds of paradise. I can't think of what that is right now. I'll come around to it. It's got the red shield hibiscus.
I love that.
The ginger, the shell variegated ginger.
You know, that was that when he laughed at you, that was the perfect opportunity for you to be an ass and say, do you know who I am?
Oh, he knows who I am. He knows who I am. Believe me. He keeps me in place, which is nice. And then it has a Leonotis in it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Orange Leonotis. And then they had yellow status. I'm like, well, put some, I've never grown status before. Put yellow status in there. And then I still can't think of the name of it. It starts with an A. It's an annual, comes in crazy colors. It's not amaranth, but it's, what is the Joseph's coat? What is that?
Oh, that's amaranth, I think, isn't it?
No.
Joseph's coat, amaranth, that's tricolor, isn't it?
Okay, man, that's going to kill me. It's not an amaranth, but it definitely starts with an A. And it's a plant that it comes in.
I feel like I should know this.
It's super annual, though, and annuals are neither of our thing. There's an upright one with dark leaves, and then
Alternanthera.
I call it Alternanthera, but yes, that's exactly what it is. It's like a fine.
What do you call it?
Alternanthera.
That's just weird.
Yeah, it is. I know. It's like a really finely cut one, like super moppy and
the burgundy.
Yeah, and that's coming over the side, and then there's a double Brugmansia. In like a small double.
That sounds dreamy.
They're looking okay, but they just I could never get good photos of them. They look prettier. Like sometimes I just come home and I'm like, hello babies, why can't I take photos of you?
Oh, there's so many things that look so good in person, then you try to do any photos of them and it's just like, ew.
I tried to take, like, I was working in the front yard and I went and I looked at the front of my house and it was just like a glowing, vibing jungle, and I took a picture of it. It just kind of sits there.
Well, one of my big disappointments this year is one of Rob's favorite plants is that big, tall Nicotiana with the big tubular white flowers that hang down.
Yeah, Sylvestris.
The really fragrant. Yeah, Sylvestris. And I was like, I'm going to start some of those from seed for him. I'm going to make him happy. And I started the seeds. I got him the like beefy little seedlings. And I put them in the garden. And I waited a few weeks. And they were small. And I realized I grew the green one.
Well, that's not so bad.
No, it is when you're expecting 6 feet tall and fragrant at night and gorgeous. And you get the tiny little green flowers.
Oh, so it's sunny. We're not even talking about a Langsdorffii, are we?
No. Wait, is it Langsdorffii that's green?
Langsdorffii. Maybe it is. There's a green one that's just like a short garden Nicotiana, but then the
But not a lot of.
The Langsdorffii is like 3 feet tall and really bizarre looking.
That's the one I have, but I thought I was getting Sylvestris, which is 6 feet tall with the 4-inch long things.
I feel you, but Langsdorffii is one of my favorites. I love it. It's so weird.
It's all right. It's not weird enough for me.
Yeah.
It's just kind of there. And I love green flowers. I'm totally down with the green flowers. But yeah, no. Let's see. What else?
My big disappointment is I had a really cool, I don't even remember what it was. It was a cedar. I had a really cool cedar that I got off a pitch pile when I was working at a landscaping company at the end of the Christmas season. So it was something like, it was a Monrovia plant that you were supposed to grow in a container. And I planted it in a container 6 years ago. And it was like, hey, Amanda, I've been okay in this container, but I'm not going to be in the container. I'm not, this is the last year I'm doing this. You got to move me. So I dug it out and moved it. And then it just got so hot, even though I was on it, didn't take. And so I lost it.
Oh, that's depressing.
It's totally depressing. So I'm going to light it on fire.
I have a little mini bee balm that's making me really happy. It's like 16 inches tall and it's got little red flowers and it's super tidy and it hasn't got mildew yet. And I'm really happy about that one, but I have no idea what it's called.
It sounds delightful.
I throw all my tags away now that I don't work for Gardening Magazine. It's liberating.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
I'll remember. No, I won't.
You know, when I was young in this business and I had something to prove, I knew the name for everything. And now that I just do it for me, I don't care what it's named.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. I just don't care.
I just don't care. It's so nice. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. Hey, you want to know what this geranium is? Go freaking investigate
Go
it
Google
yourself.
Red geranium.
Right?
Like, yeah, you can figure it out.
Go figure out. I'm like, why? You want the same geranium I have? You freak. Why are you so obsessed?
And you're not
going to
find it anywhere anyway. Yeah. So just find one that looks like
it. Right. Why are you so obsessed with me? Yeah. Right. That's exactly where I'm at. All right. What else do we have to talk about? Because we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, we should wrap it up. My phone's going to die. We've been here for an hour.
It's long enough.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good for a comeback tour.
We promised that we'll make another one soon and that we'll have a guest. And I think it's.
Ooh, we're going to have a guest. I know who that guest is.
Yeah, we both do. Woohoo. And I think. Is it weird to make an honest ploy to say that, you know, we've been making podcasts with Anchor and neither of us is really that pleased with the sound and the, we've had problems with the delay.
The lagging. Yeah. Let's hope and hope and hope that this one is okay. And if it's not, we're really sorry and we're going to change platforms and it'll all get better soon.
But if anyone has a platform or anything to suggest to us.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I mean, it's embarrassing to, I mean, it's not like we put a ton of work into it, but when it comes out.
But it's super embarrassing. I know.
It is super embarrassing.
But in the meantime, let's take some pictures of our gardens and some of the things we talked about and post them on the Facebook page. Everybody visit the Facebook page.
All right. And Michelle, you guys all heard Michelle say she's putting a picture of herself in a bathing suit on the Facebook page.
I am not. My kid barely knows what I look like.
So I guess until then, thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.